Hey, Happy Friday. This week, Google made AirDrop work on Android. Apple's latest chip is remarkably great. And Gemini 3 is here and kinda scary good. Welcome to the Friday Checkout. This video is sponsored by Insta360. Okay, for my first story of the week, wirelessly sharing files between Android and iOS just became remarkably easy. In a blog post from Google, the company explains that they're, quote, introducing a way for Quick Share to work with AirDrop. This starts rolling out today to the Pixel 10 family, but should come to other Android devices soon. 9to5 Google has shared some screenshots of the feature in action, and it looks pretty seamless on both sides. Now, wildly enough, Google actually told Android Authority that, quote, "We accomplished this through our own implementation. Our implementation was thoroughly vetted and tested by our own privacy and security teams, and we also engaged a third-party security firm to pen-test the solution." So it sounds like Google might have basically reverse-engineered AirDrop, which is pretty wild, and it makes you wonder if Apple will actually crack down on this or retaliate in some way. Ars Technica points out that the fact that the EU made Apple adopt new Wi-Fi standards through its Digital Markets Act is likely what made this workaround possible in the first place, so I guess thanks again to the European Union. For now, sharing only works if you enable your AirDrop to be visible to everyone around you, which is an extra step, I guess, but yeah, seems pretty good if it actually works and if Apple doesn't kill it. Okay, for my second story of the week, Apple launched a brand new chip in the iPhone 17 series in the form of the N1, which is their first ever in-house Wi-Fi and Bluetooth chip. This replaced a Broadcom chip in their predecessor, and this week, Ookla, the company that makes speedtest.net, gave us the results of tons and tons of real-world data proving that Apple's chip appears to be really quite excellent. To start with, the new N1 chip significantly outperformed the old Broadcom chip across every region, and also across individual markets. And by the way, this is also beyond the point of the article, but it's also wild that the real Wi-Fi speeds in France are about 4 times as fast as they are in Germany. Crazy. Anyway, compared with other phones, the Pixel 10 series ever so slightly took the crown for downloads, while for upload speeds, the Xiaomi 15T with a MediaTek modem won first place, but the iPhone 17 managed to snatch a second spot in both cases. That's a really nice showing. And keep in mind that this is data from millions of people around the world in real homes and offices, so this dataset is really interesting. Apple struggled for years, almost a decade, to get a 4G and 5G modem out, but now it looks like they not only succeeded in that with the C1 last year, but now also with Wi-Fi in the form of the N1. That's a big deal. Okay, and for my third story of the week, Google seems to have made massive progress with AI. They announced Gemini 3 this week, their next generation AI model, and it actually looks pretty insane. Sure, it claims to be very smart and Google says that it wins all sorts of benchmarks, but the most interesting part is that it can now generate interactive user interfaces on the fly in your chats to illustrate, for example, a physics problem. Alternatively, if you asked it a question about financing a home purchase, for example, it could actually generate an interactive tool like a calculator right there as part of your answer. That looks really impressive, though I also have to wonder what would happen if you made a major investment decision based on a calculator that Gemini 3 gave you, and what if that calculator had some mistake that Gemini hallucinated into it, and you would have never known. I bet that is bound to happen soon enough. Anyway, Gemini 3 is also going to be powering a new version of Google's image editor called Nano Banana Pro. This lets you not just generate images, but also edit existing ones by telling it what changes you want, including things like refocusing, which you'd never be able to do with Photoshop yourself. Images in the new Nano Banana Pro can go up to 4K. People say that they actually look pretty convincing, and Google also claims that the images are now at least watermarked, so Google should be able to recognize when they're altered. Of course, Gemini is only one of the many image generators out there, and they'd only be able to recognize their own, so this feels like a half solution, but okay. And for Nano Banana, I'm simultaneously extremely impressed and also horrified. If everyone can just change any part of any image with a single prompt, and it just looks fantastic every time and very believable, like, that is a horrifying future, and also an amazing one, but I think mostly horrifying. Anyway, as for our release monitor, we only have a very short one, starting with the DJI Action 6. This is the world's first action camera with a variable aperture. You can go from f2.2 to f4, so not quite a crazy big range, but I guess still pretty good, especially for low light shots, plus there are also a lot of other cool features like screw-on lenses, 10-bit log, and so on. Next, Leica announced the Q3 Monochrome. It's a black and white full-frame camera that in true Leica fashion looks amazing and also costs $7,790. Hilariously, that's also about $1,000 more than the color version of the same camera, so there you go. And if Leica cameras are just completely out of your budget, Samsung has also announced their budget tablets called the Tab A11 and the A11 Plus. They look pretty fancy, but they have very basic specs, though with prices starting at $180, that's kind of okay, I guess. Okay, and as for our brief, we start with YouTube, which is testing bringing back direct messages, as they say that is a top feature request. YouTube had these, but then they killed them off, but I guess then Spotify added DMs, and so YouTube getting them back is now fully expected too. Next, Matter 1.5 launched officially this week, and it added support for security cameras, but also other categories like blinds, garage doors, gates, and more. Plus, it now also supports energy management, so more and more of your smart home could completely rely on Matter now. Nice. Then also this week, Google released its newest Pixel drop update for November, and Android Authority is, I think, correctly pointing out that it is essentially a bloatware update. Apparently the first thing that you get greeted with is a full screen prompt to install themes for the new Wicked movie. You can of course just ignore these, but as Android Authority points out, these are full screen ads built into your operating system for a commercial product, and so I don't think they belong there. And talking of operating system updates, Microsoft announced that it is turning Windows into an agentic OS, starting with the taskbar. There are going to be little icons for things like the Researcher AI agent that you can ask to crawl through your files and do stuff on your behalf, with little progress indicators for how things are going. And I get a very distinct sense that about 95% of the people watching this video are currently either screaming at their monitor, or they're feeling very smug and satisfied about not using Windows. It's one or the other. And then in an unrelated piece of news, this article called "Screw It, I'm Installing Linux" was dominating the homepage of The Verge with well over 400 comments, which was the most I've ever seen on the site so far. You know, I think it's important not to overstate things, and change is actually much slower than it seems, but I also simultaneously feel like 2025, 2026, maybe finally the beginning of the Linux desktop. Maybe. And talking of which, the Summit on European Digital Sovereignty was held in Berlin on Tuesday this week, where France's Emmanuel Macron, Germany's Friedrich Merz, and loads of industry people met to declare that they want more control over their digital infrastructure. Now, two big heads of states actually being there sends a pretty clear message, though I gotta say, the things that they actually talked about are still very much in the early phases. They're trying to first figure out what all the parties even want in the first place. Anyway, I found it funny that before the event, the US embassy actually sought explanations from the Franco-German Tech Summit organizers ahead of their event. The US embassy actually called in these people to answer what on earth that they were trying to do. Yikes. Anyway, and a day later, also in Berlin, something called EuroSky held its conference, where the organizers said that they're now building a social media app using the AT protocol that would be compatible with BlueSky, but hosted and moderated in the EU. Okay, I guess. Next, according to sources of Korea's Yonhap News Agency, quote, Samsung Display ends 3-year infringement row with BOE. A few months ago, I told you how the United States International Trade Commission was about to nuke the Chinese firm BOE out of orbit because they allegedly stole some trade secrets from Samsung Display's OLED unit, but apparently, instead, the two companies have now decided to settle. And then also in good news, the popular Moment Pro camera app got a big upgrade this week as well. It now allows you to shoot open gate on all of your sensors. It enables shooting raw on the regular iPhone 17, not just the Pro models. It includes a new natural processing, which allows you to ditch that classic smartphone camera look and more. Cool. And talking of cool shots, you probably know that I recently went to Syria to shoot one of the most interesting videos that I've made yet, and for many of the most unique shots that I got there, I use the Insta360 X5, my favorite 360-degree camera that also happens to be on sale for Black Friday right now. I love sticking it on a gigantic selfie stick and then, for example, pointing it out of a car window to get shots that are just completely unique. I can just shoot everything and find the perfect angle later, including of things that happened that I might have missed while shooting. On my 3-meter selfie stick, I also love that I can just lift it up really high to make it look like it's flying above a train, for example, but then also just stick the camera into the window of an abandoned train to see what the interior looks like. I literally wouldn't have known how to get the shot otherwise. Or how about sticking it through some dodgy solar panels to get you a very tricky perspective of some roofs? This combination of having a 3-meter long selfie stick plus this incredible field of view is just so much fun. Of course, most people will probably want to use this as an action camera rather than a tool for making documentaries, and for that, it's also really nice that it has fantastic stabilization. You get so much resolution that you can crop in and out as much as you want, and the image still looks great in most cases, and battery life is excellent too. Meanwhile, the camera also has a couple of tricks worth mentioning. First is that you can not only add lens guards for extra protection, but even if you manage to crack the main lenses themselves, you can replace those too. And amazingly, the first 10 people who use my link will get the replacement kit for self-repair for free. And the other thing is that their app makes exporting and managing footage extremely simple. It can do everything from completely automatic tracking and AI highlights down to completely manual options for pros who want to control every detail for themselves. It's all in the app. And for Black Friday, you also get $100 off the camera now, plus, of course, also the free lens replacement kit. That's an extra gift that I got from my viewers, so check out the link below. Happy shooting, and I'll see you next Friday.